I want to now go to what I think this is, what you're about to see. First of all, what you're about to see is going on in you right now, everywhere in you. We're going to let you look briefly at a cell made by the chemistry department at Harvard University, which was getting a little worried that it wasn't getting chemistry majors. So they thought maybe they should do something jazzy. So
this is basically what's going on in your cells right now. These are different fibers assembling, dissembling your cells.
This is a
molecular machine that walks around in your cells right now. It's called a kinesin and transports things. So, for example, when things want to move around your cells, they don't just float around randomly. They
actually
moved around with little machines, little robots, nanobots that power your cells. What you see here is actually an amazing machine coming out of these little pores, which actually assembles other machines. This is like the factory floor of your cells. It's called a ribosome. It reads your RNA. RNA is, comes from the DNA. It's translated into RNA, and then it basically gets read out by these ribosomes, and they make new machines, which then do other things. So there's all kinds of machines in your cells, things that rotate, things that walk, things that make other machines, things that read RNA, things that copy DNA, that open, shuffle
again
things
while
around.
We talk about it.
Graphene is a biosensor. It means it can receive and transmit. So there's no shedding here. When someone's been poisoned with graphene, they become a human cell tower, and they're receiving radiation and emitting radiation, which affects everyone else around them. Radiation poisoning in combination with graphene oxide causes cellular disruption, disorganization, and death, and the waste products of that lower the pH to a point where the body has to activate, and it's called the clotting cascade. And the clotting cascade that's taking place is to try to prevent internal bleeding from the damage of this declining pH caused by the radiation and amplified by the graphene oxide.
Say we're going to put graphene in them. And a lot of people are seeing a lot of products have graphene in them, as we've been talking about. But this Journal of Molecular Liquids goes in to say frequency responsive cooperativity of graphene oxide complexes under a low AC bulk electric field. And what we find here is so devastating, because it basically talks about a freaking DNA virus. Let's read you down here. The particles, along with the thin DNA viruses in altering electric fields probed by means of novel experimental methods of image time correlation spectrometry, graphene oxide carries overall local reorientations. Now, if you bring it down a little bit, however, such oscillations are absent as over damped Brownian motion in the mixture of DNA virus suspension. In the case, Brownian fluctuations of graphene oxide can be effectively stabilized, cooperated in membrane-based isotropic rod mesh network of DNA virus suspension.
I work in the team of Case Decker, and I work on designing graphene nanopores to sequence DNA at a single molecule level. So the idea of DNA sequencing is to read the content of your genome. And what you want is a recorder that can read the sequence of your DNA, but for that you need a recorder that is not bigger than the size of a single base. So we are using graphene because graphene is only one atom thin. So we are really doing high technology with very simple methods. So we take a piece of graphite here, we put the graphite onto the scotch tape, we exfoliate it once, we take a silicon wafer here, in which that we bring into contact with the graphene, we press hard, we end up with a piece of wafer that somewhere has a graphene layer. And then we'll bring that chip to a transmission electron microscope to burn a nanopore into it. So then we take this chip, we flow on both sides a buffer, and on one side we inject the DNA molecule, and that's what we can record. There are still a few challenges to overcome, but all the technology I mentioned is in the size of this little chip here that could be used by a physician in his office to sequence the DNA of one of his patients in only a few minutes rather than a few days.
Seizures and epileptic patients, but let's say you have graphene in you. Well, at that point, you don't need to be epileptic because you already are highly more conductive because of this impermeated magnetic technology in you. And we're going to go into it here in just a second, talking about graphene oxide on the brain. And we're going to go into this effects that they found and what it triggers. So let's say the graphene oxide was in your brain. This graphene for people, targeting people that basically have some type of health issue. So let's say it's in your brain and it's at a super high amount and the solar flare hits. The solar flare hits, and then at that point, some people have a electromagnetic, what they call seizure, basically, because of so much magnetic technology in them, it causes them to basically not be able to withstand the magnetic shock waves that will be felt. But obviously, we're going to talk about how to detox that as well and talk about other methods we can use. In this study, though, that it talks about the effects of graphene oxide. Let's say you survived it anyway. Let's say you survived the event and you had some other strange things going on. We got a study talking about that. And another thing is that ties into this is that graphene itself harvests energy from storms. Here's a study talking about how the solar panels do it. Synapses in the central nervous system relay signals among neurons. Changes in synapse, which are known as synaptic plasticity, are crucial to learning and laying down new memories. This phenomenon is implicated in anxiety and disorders like dementia. When under stress, neurons in the part of the brain respond in a hyper-excited manner, leading to adverse memories and post-traumatic stress disorder. And this is the study talking about. So let's look at what the graphene basically has been permeating inside of this rat. What is it impermeating itself around? And check this out. To me, it looks like maybe it's closer to veins as we see these small little stringy lines.
Humus is a valuable component of good soils, and humic acid can be defined as a complex mixture of organic acids produced by the decomposition of vegetable or animal matter. Humic acid tends to be higher in soils with lots of organic matter breaking down over time. Researchers from China decided to test how effective it was at reducing the environmental toxicity of a substance called graphene oxide, or GO for short. It turns out that in recent years, graphene oxide's wide production and application have inevitably caused its release into the aquatic ecosystem. In one study, they found that humic acid significantly relieved phytotoxicity in wheat roots caused by graphene, apparently in part by reducing the aggregation of graphene and also by enhancing the storage of it in something called vacuoles. They suggest the innovative concept that humic acid acts as a natural antidote to graphene in vivo, or in other words, within a living organism.
Firstly, graphene is soft and extremely flexible, they say. It behaves like an electronic skin that enables perfect brain surface contact. Moreover, graphene leads to miniaturized brain sensors with cell-like size up to 40,000 times smaller than platinum-based sensors. This is less invasive and avoids unwanted side effects, they say. Finally, graphene interfaces are easily coupled with modern electronics. And this is how they can just touch a switch, look at your brain, check out everything that's going on, because they want that. They want live-time action. And so they wanted to be able to internally basically discover certain things about us and look at our electronic signature, and then they can harvest
energy. It drives our modern lives. It gives us the ability to create, to solve, and to prosper. But as we grow, the demand for energy increases. While the world searches for ways to responsibly maintain its supply, NTS Innovations is working to reimagine the production and delivery of clean energy with a new technology known as graphene energy harvesting.
A lot of people are not going to know what to do. But if they see this clip, this video, they'll have a better understanding how solar flares and electromagnetic seizures and everything else with behavior changes are connected to the scenario we're speaking right now. So if you're able to detox and you're able to do, and these systems will decode brain signals further down the road. These devices may advance brain computer communications and other neuroengineering applications. So they don't need a microchip anymore. Add-on-wide graphene sensors could be provide unprecedented insights into brain structure and function. So it was in California, it was in New York, and it was moving, right? Because look at it on the screen, it's going to start changing, shape is moving around, it looks like a snake. And also, whenever you're seeing the structures, and over Disney recently this year, they had a circle in the sky, and they keep telling you, oh, it's just smoke. But how is it just smoke when it's over the top of Disney? There is no smoke over there. It's like basically just an area where a bunch of people are and a bunch of like stores and all that. So it ain't that important for society to know. Graphene-based nano antennas may enable cooperating smart dust swarms. Like, what causes them to move like this? It says frequency up to 427 GHz, high-frequency self-aligned graphene transistors, because they can self-assimilate. And so if you don't detox them, they'll continually assimilate inside the body of us. And that's exactly why I wanted to give you the information to not just in your lungs because of the atmospheres and everything that's going on and all this stuff. But I have some information here that basically was put out before, goes in the research, and I had to black that part out because it's talked about and they was injected. Well, you know what? The research of Laquin Columba, led by Ricardo Delgado, successfully tested inexpensive way to remove magnetic graphene oxide nanoparticles from the human body using NAC and zinc. I'm gonna tell you about NAC because NAC is really harsh and you have to know what you're doing there. These two antioxidants essentially are essential to degrade graphene oxide. DARPA and HARP themselves work together, so they modulate the frequencies in the field. These frequencies interact with whatever these different. And the other part is, I just kind of lost what I was gonna say because I just remember something even crazier than everything else that you're about to see. It's this study I found, things with acoustic sound in people's blood, basically. Here's what that slide looks like. That's them using acoustic sound waves, and they say tiny biological nanoparticles called small extravesicles are released into the body and are believed to play a large role into cell-to-cell communication and disease transmission. The new technology, dubbed acoustic nanoscale separation via wave pillar excitation resonance. Answer for short, not only pulls the nanoparticles from biofluids in under 10 minutes, it also sorts them into a size category believed to have distinct biological roles. Makes the graphene move. That's the graphene right there. And we told you, and again, at the end of the video, for people who didn't get it, we'll leave methods to the detoxification of graphene. Further though, it gets even stranger though, because I look into a scientific study, a literal one, not just some little, you know, fantasy fiction one. And they're talking about something out of like mythical things from the Bible, where you see a half man and a half horse or something like that. So we go into it though right now for you to understand what I'm saying, because the symbiotic relationship is what they're talking about. How AI human symbiotes may reinvent innovation and what the new centaurs will mean for cities. Centaurs, and that's exactly this right here. That's biblically something that was described as well, the half man, like half horse. Those were created from creatures featured in Greek mythology with the upper body of a human horse, lower body and legs. What if these, and that's the real question. Next big topic here, the fish. Toxic forever chemicals, PFOs, found in freshwater fish across U.S. The freshwater fish caught in nation rivers and Great Lakes had dangerous levels of toxic additive that has leached into the nation's drinking water, a new study says. Report. It says, like a Trojan horse, graphene oxide can act as a carrier of organic pollutants to fish. And it also goes into deeper saying that it's a bio carrier. So moving past that, here's another report that came from PubMed.com. Goes in to show it. Keywords, it says graphene based carriers have been widely developed in recent years as carriers of bioactive agents. Along with recent advances in molecular design engineering, they show how practical potential for future use in bioactive agent delivery. This is what the bioactive agent delivery system looks like. Now, we don't know what's in the delivery system. It could be all these things right here that you see. It could be vitamins, phytochemicals, drugs. It could be anything they want to put in them, and it influences your tissue. So it would tell you why you have birds dropping out of the sky, along with frequencies as well. It says backbone degradation, physical disruption, all this different stuff that basically is happening all in one. So we're going to give you ways how you can like potentially fight against that. But moving past that, the military operates at a frequency, which I told you, really drop birds out of the sky. What is this frequency? It's 60 GHz millimeter wave, which is known to absorb a lot of oxygen out of the atmosphere. 98% of transmitted energy absorbed pretty much by the atmospheric energy. And we go further than that, though. What specific program is being used to do this? SpaceX was putting up these V-band Starlink satellites, right? And this project is going to be going from 2024 to 2027, which they basically already was launching them, because it says SpaceX filed new application FCC, a way to reduce the number of V-band Starlink satellites. And guess what frequency these were at? Go into it. It says the U.S. military used the 60 GHz frequency to test V-band communications between satellites with MilStar 1 and 2. MilStar could have been part of President Reagan's awkwardly named Star Wars program. Obviously, it's going to be called Star Wars because they're hitting you, they're zapping you, and everybody's like, oh, Star Wars, and they're going to save us from the bad guys. But you're zapping oxygen out of the atmosphere. So if you use that against the enemy, obviously it would be effective because you can't breathe. You know, you're like a fish out of water, you know, flapping on side of the ground. I mean, I showed a video with the fishes the other day when they were zapping it with electricity anyway. I'm not sure 100% if they were zapping those specifically, but I just imagine that that's probably what's happening. Now, in those scenarios, what could we do? What could we naturally do to help our lungs in that moment? I told you, I have an activated carbon filter. That's one of the things I do. The frequencies itself is an entire different thing. I use RF shielding for that. But they have these improved lung oxygenation prone position layouts where they tell you position one, you get in laying into the position for 30 minutes, and then you switch to 30 minutes on the side. Then you do another 30 minutes in this position, 3, 4, and 5. So basically, whenever they're hitting you with all this, and then you get that level of low oxygen, this would be something to potentially do to try yourself right now. Obviously, to detoxify the lungs, that's a whole nother story. Because if you have lungs that are basically toxic, you're going to have to use a lot of different things to, like you're seeing on the screen, to get that all that stuff and gunk cleaned out. And I would say deep breathing is probably one of the most important things you can do, because you activate the low level of your lungs. And I do a lot of breathing techniques all the time. And the deeper you breathe, as you push your diaphragm out, and you inhale in with oxygen. So the first thing you do is just like when you slow your heart rate down, what you have to do is inhale through the nose while pushing and expanding your stomach outward, holding it there. And then after like 3 seconds, you then breathe out. So you would need to do that in these moments, because that helps you even in anxiety moments. How to detox and cleanse your lungs naturally. Here's what Dr. Vikram put out, and it's something I didn't know about. This part was talking about a specific salt. Rock salt, pink salt, obviously has electrolytes in it too. With lukewarm water. Lukewarm water is very essential in keeping our lungs naturally clean and healthy. Addition rock salt helps in getting rid of accumulated cough, according to Ayurveda. And it says, and Sendinaba, however you say that. Rock salt, both are kappa dosa pacifying, hence reduces chances for kappa dosa Biederman, however you say that, it cleanses the overall respiratory system, thus enhancing the performance of lungs. Me, myself, I go into using Mullen. Mullen works really, really fine for me. And this causes all types of situations from different cancers and stuff like that, from basically thyroid issues to like kidney issues. And so the chemicals have infiltrated the drinking water and settle in fish, livestock, dairy, and other animals that go into the nation's food supply. This is a synthetic man-made chemical. I want you to know that, obviously. But when you look it up, they tell you, well, there's no way you can really get rid of it. It is a way. So we're going to get into that here with you live. So first off, if you are drinking water unfiltered, that's the first mistake you're making. So detoxing this is definitely going to be important. So let's get into the forever chemicals that we're talking about here. The method would be reverse osmosis with the activated carbon filters. This has been shown to be effective in plenty of studies against these chemicals. So that's the first level to cleaning out your water supply. Now we're going to get into basically the vegetables and stuff like that that was put out by Dr. J. Niner, which says coniferous veggies, tip one. And you go into what are these coniferous veggies? So they're basically defending you against a lot of these different things that's happened. Anti-cancer process, anti-inflammatory, defense against type 2 diabetes, all the stuff on the screen you see. Blood pressure helps memory. Now, what's the next thing with that you need to take? Because obviously most of the veggies in the supply chain could be toxic if you're not getting them from people that actually grow on their own farm who tell you they don't use the most toxic things in the world. So chlorella. Also, very highly important. Moving into what chlorella is good for, strengthens liver function, exactly what is being attacked with the forever chemicals, removes fungi, bacteria, poisons from the blood, so it's cleaning your blood out literally. Contains the highest known source of chlorophyll, prevents cancer, strengthens the immune system, loaded with protein. So, a lot of uses there. You can read down there from eczema to chronic fatigue, lots of different good uses for chlorella. Now, the third one that we want to get into is spirulina. And spirulina is being used widely for detoxing heavy metals and a lot of other things. Anti-inflammatory, boost the immune system, great source of nutrients. Anti-cancer, purify the liver, remove toxins from the blood, useful for radioactive exposure.
And just before I bring Will Sikkema out here, he of the magic glue that is necessary to reconnect severed heads and spinal cords.
What has a chemist got to do with a head transplant? Like, that's surgeons and biologists, right? Well, in my experience, new ideas generally come from hard problems and a multidisciplinary approach. So you take people from various different disciplines. So you take chemists, physicists, biologists, doctors, surgeons, and you put them in a room and you give them a hard problem. And we've seen hard problems before today. So this hard problem is the head transplant. So if you have a person who has a healthy head, but they have a damaged body, say they have some sort of cancer that's throughout their body but has left their head alone, or they have muscular dystrophy like Valeri, you mentioned, where their muscle is sort of wasting away and they're essentially skin and bone, but their head is mostly intact, or some person who has had severe trauma where their body is unrecoverable, you could take their healthy head and transfer it onto a healthy body of a person who is either brain dead. Or you could take some vegetables and cellularize them to make a body and transplant the head onto the healthy body. But that's probably a little bit farther away. So then we're going to cue the video to watch how the procedure would work from a surgery's perspective. And here it is.
Thank you.
the Cyborg Graphene 6G game over is now being revealed nowhere else. So if you want to run away, go ahead and run away. But if you want to sit down and understand what's at large happening, first, you need to listen to this DARPA director or neuroscientist. And then we're going to tell you how they're saying they want to put these cyborg cells in our environment, which basically phase one has been done with the graphene. And we're going to connect the dots here so that you can see further where it's going. And we found ways that, yes, it is ways to remove this stuff. And we want to talk about even further ways on that. But check this out.
DARPA neurotechnologist Justin Sanchez.
Interfaces to the brain, we are able to discover and learn about the structural, electrical, and chemical components of neural activity that emerges millisecond to millisecond and throughout all of a lifetime. DARPA-sponsored research is enabling us to measure the activity of many different brain signals that span many different systems of the brain. And we do this to establish new theories for how neural activity gives rise to specific behaviors.
How 6G needs graphene to communicate, because obviously these systems are interlinked together, but not just that it needs 6G to communicate, it also needs, in a different form of way, these different hydras and everything else, because they were talking about these systems inside of the hydra and they're using magnetic fields to modulate them as well. So this is going to go into the whole agenda here that they're not just coming out telling us in 2023 they want to use us as a human body receiver, which the graphene has already essentially done that. And like I said, the survivors of the future will be the ones who take more of this out of their body, and they'll have spiritual control as well, because they said the graphene interacted with demons and stuff like that. And I said it in my last video. Now, the more interesting thing is that everything is being bioengineered. And what people haven't been looking into is that the hydras themselves are at large being bioengineered. As you look on the screen here, what are you seeing? You're seeing that some of them look completely different. And they've even admitted that they've bioengineered some of them. So they got genetic ones out there and they've implanted sensors inside of them. These sensors allow them to be stimulated, as you're going to see on the screen, whenever they hit them with certain types of light. And they're also creating different communication systems. And going into this, we're going to show you exactly what happens with the worm hydra hybrid. It makes them be able to communicate like a cell phone inside of whatever it's in, whether that's the water, whether that's a person, whatever it's in. And we're about to read some of this to you about what the researchers did. And it goes in to say, for two people to communicate in a loud room, they need to be standing side by side. The same is often true for neurons in the brain, but the same way a cell phone allows two people to communicate clearly across the room, new research at Marine Biology Laboratory opened a new channel of communication in the worm brain. For the first time, researchers created, they were able to give it communications to tell it that the behavior told them they were full and needed to stop searching for food. And then another thing they were saying, it was like, they said, this is so exciting. We've opened up a whole new area we've never explored. And like, basically they just mad at this point and they're using these things for communication systems. So if a hydra was somewhere or in something or in whatever it's in, it could send a message to another hydra. And essentially, they are externally sending messages between that, along with the 6G, along with the graphene and everything else. So it becomes this linkage that you have an intelligent system inside of a system they could send signals from, not just normal signals. Like, you could have these things weaponize as your army. Let's say somebody's infested and that person significantly is not spiritually clean, is not physically clean, and they're just completely being controlled by frequency fields, magnetic control. And then you drop these cyborg cells in the environment, which specifically they state right here. This just came out too. So this is phase two where they get in here and they tell you, here's what they say. The cyborg cells are programmable. And it says they have these essential cellular activities and non-native abilities. Tan said the cyborg cells were more resistant to stressors that would kill normal cells, such as exposure to hydrogen peroxide and antibiotics or high pH, the researchers found. So saying that high pH will not kill these cyborg cells. And Tan and the UC Davis team came up with their approach. They infused living bacteria cells with the basic units of artificial polymer. Once inside the cell, polymer was cross-linked into hydrogel matrix by exposure to ultraviolet light. And remember, polymer is pretty much in basically the geoengineering. You can look at it right here, a structural polymer, which is obviously stuff that's being created inside of a laboratory. Technodystopic system. So the 6G, the cyborg cells, the graphene, the hydra splice with worms, all this is in one detailed, elaborate plan. So moving into it though, what kills graphene oxide? Researching these potential environmental toxicity effects, scientists have found that, I think it's kaolin, a cheap and abundant clay, can act as a powerful antidote to remediate the toxic effects of graphene oxide. They use it and they defeated the graphene oxide in the oil spill before. Apparently it's been in oil spills and everything. It's in oil, it's in smoke, it's in all that. Kind of look like this. Another thing is that kaolin has been used internally throughout history to help with digestive system because the clay doesn't break down and it isn't absorbed into the body. It's very useful. The parasitic effects as well. And I'm not promoting whatever this brand is up here. I use black walnut, but obviously in conjunction with black walnut, you're supposed to use multiple things like you see on the screen because you have to kill out the population of worms. Which now we know the worms are being, hybrided with hydras. So who's told you anything about that besides it coming out here? And that's why the information is critical here, because we don't go looking at other research or anything else that somebody else has put out. We just go based off what we believe the next step could be. And we think critically here so that we can get information out to help others in this critical battle. So again, Endgame will be at the end of this video, and it's something you need to watch very, very much. And also protect yourself from the frequencies. I'll have the link in the chat section. You can check it out. And after the video is over, also the graphene detox is well on there. So if you go down below after the video is over and you click that link or you click it in the live chat, you'll find out information to how you can shield yourself. I use the pods for RO shielding because that's the first way. Second way is you need to have clean air. You need to have some plant in the house, snake plant. I have an air purifier that keeps the air clear. And you also need to shield your blood and everything else, the blood-brain barrier. And that's what the RF pods do. And they also do the same thing to the plants. And it also does the same thing to the water. And so adding prayer with that is an important conjunction and function to getting through the society. Now, this video should be blasted out, getting far and wide. And it's up to everybody here tuning in.